First off, the alignment went to Tate McRae, and I got a bunch of texts and tweets and everything, which a lot of people just thought you were like went by yourself. I'm like, guys, Lyman's married. Lyman and his wife went to see Tate McRae. Lyman posted a video, and I got a lot of guys tweeting at me to take Lyman's man card. I don't believe in man cards.
Ooh, the man card.
Your man card is
revoked.
Man cards are your testicles. I can't just take away Lyman's testicles. That's what his man card is.
Ken.
Well, I mean, but I don't think I'm going to try. That's
but
the whole
Anthony,
point.
Anthony, did you go to watch the show? Was that the reason that you went to Tate McRae?
I knew like five or six of her songs because my wife runs to them and loves them.
Because if you went to see the show, good for you. But I went to the Guardians game and I saw exactly the same things that you saw.
Yeah.
And I did not walk into Rocket Arena at all.
The crowd. And we talked about this on Friday. Going to concerts is even more of an experience because now you're part of it.
Yes.
Because you're dressing up a certain way, the themes, I don't know what it is. Like, you would think, all right, hasn't that been that way all my life? Maybe at a Kiss concert. But now it's all these shows. Their fans are so devoted.
That's a good point.
We're an ICP show.
And that place,
Fish.
That place was totally sold out. The upper deck was full like an hour before, an hour and a half. It was crazy. And then it all let out at the same time the Guardians game let out.
Yeah.
So you had these two distinct different fan bases.
We could not get out the way I normally do. So we had to go out behind home plate, but we were parked over here. So I had to go all the way around East 9th. And it was two different sets of fish swimming in different streams. There were cars just stopped on East 9th waiting to pick people up, leaving the concert. It was a time.
I'll tell you what I loved. I loved that I could just go get a beer. Not a long line for beer at a concert like this.
You were in the demo for the beer people.
Yes. It was a beautiful thing. There was much of a wait.
Were you and Sarah dressed normally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we dress like if...
Normal 40-year-old people?
We dressed how we would dress if we were going out on the town.
I saw a picture posted on Instagram, and you guys looked great.
Oh, well, Owen, thank you very much.
You guys look like two middle-aged people going to a concert.
We didn't wear the purple bras. That's
you didn't have yours on?
Because she has a song that references that. Or the leopard mini skirt. I opted against it this time around. See next time.
She doesn't wear a lot of clothes that one.
She basically performs in underwear.
Oh.
That's, you got to be free moving.
That's what it is.
Yeah. A lot of dancing.
We watch a lot of splits. She does a lot of splits, a lot of leg right up in the air.
Why am I supposed to be so judgmental when we watch a combine every year?
That's true. Chris Jones, I saw everything from him one year.
Yeah.
During his 40-yard dash.
People were noting this weekend in college football that the guys are just wearing shorts. The football players are just, especially the receivers, are just wearing shorts now.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You can't do that in high school still.
No. Why? What are the rules?
Oh, you better
have. You got to have your knees covered. If you don't have your knees covered, get off the field.
It's like you're a Catholic school. Back to the locker room. You got to measure.
Yes. Back to the locker room you go, cover them up.
The head official stands out there with a dollar bill.
can't do that in the NFL either. You got to have them covered all the way down, and then at least do it. Well, maybe you can have them up, but you have to have the socks all the way up, because remember, you have to have your socks on. There's a whole thing to it.
I wonder why college is so lax on that.
They've always been kind of that way. Yeah. Remember the bare midriffs in the early 90s?
Okay, did you see the dude?
Guts.
Did you see the dude from Colorado, the punt returner? He had the baggiest uniform I've ever seen.
The 7XL.
And they just easily dragged him down. Like the gunner got down there, just clasped the jersey, and that was it. Just brought him right down.
So I left a name off. I put the names on there that I watched earlier this weekend, and the names that I like for the Browns, obviously, because until one of the pups get a chance to play, and until they prove otherwise, we're trying to do two things at once here this season. We're trying to get ready for next year, and we are trying to win some football games, and maybe we'll win enough football games where we don't have to worry as much about next year. But the Browns are telling you, I mean, again, Jimmy Haslam went to the games. They got 10 draft picks next year, two of which are in the first round. So they're telling you everything they got and everything that they're planning. And I actually should have put a fourth name down there. I didn't. I only put three. And then, of course, the guys from The Fan, Joey tweeted out the segment with us talking about it, because I said Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, Carson Beck begrudgingly. I'm not a big Carson Beck guy, but that was a hell of an outing against Notre Dame, big game. I think everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time with Miami, I think especially with a guy like that, and stared it down and was able to get it done. And Fernando Mendoza, the name I left out, and I'm getting killed right now over it, and I go, well, guys, we'll have our moment, is Drew Aller. And the reason I left the name out is because I liked Drew Aller last year, and Drew Aller had a fine season, and then he played Ohio State. And, hey, Drew Aller can't help guys dropping footballs in the corner of the end zone. Drew Aller can't help some of the weird play calls that they have in this archaic offense where their play caller basically calls plays for Instagram. He can't help any of that. But what you can help is what he was still not very good at, which he still wasn't very good against Ohio State. I don't think he was as bad as what people made him out to be or what the internet made him out to be, but he wasn't very great against Ohio State. And I thought that's the game that it matters. So I like Drew Aller. I like Drew Aller last year. Because of Bernie, Bernie was the one who exposed him to me. I've liked Drew Aller since high school. And that was years ago when he was just a kid. But damn, man, if he don't play well on November 1st, I already know that it's a done deal with a lot of you guys. If you can't play against Ohio State, then there's no point even bringing him up. Because if I do bring him up, the only reason you just like him because he's a local guy. That's it. You only like him because he's local. And part of that would be true. I like local guys. That is true.
So it didn't impress you 22-26 against Nevada.
He was great. That's against Nevada. He was great against Nevada. What I found really impressive was that James Franklin was giving the referees hell at the end of that football game. I mean, real hell, because he was mad about something in the final minute of that football game when it was a clear browbeating, let's get off the field, and something was not right, and he let the refs know it at the end of the game. He was still headset on, intense, up by 35 at the end of that football game. I thought Drew Aller was great. And a lot of people, yeah, you guys are right. I am leaving Drew Aller off. Drew Aller has his chance coming up on November 1st. If he plays well, I will be more than welcome to do it. Because, guys, it ain't worth my fight. It ain't worth the fight. Do I sit here and have this fight every single damn day? If he goes out there in the playoffs and has a good playoffs afterwards, maybe I will. But why do I bother having the fight when I couldn't have it last year? Because it's all Ken. All you do is like the guy because he's local.
But are you going to hold?
All right, fine.
Are you going to hold him to the same standard of all the other quarterbacks? Like, are you going to monitor just their big game, just their biggest game?
No, I'm going to monitor every one of his games, but I'm not going to put him on any lists until after November 1st. That's when they play Ohio State. I mean, I got to look at the rest of their schedule here. They have Oregon coming up on September 27th. That's a big football game. And it's at home against Oregon. Well, that's still not going to be Ohio State on November 1st.
Yeah, look, Aller was certainly not great down the stretch last year, and they went to the Big Ten Championship. They obviously had, you know, their playoff run, and he was not, at no point did I find him to be, like, spectacular or, you know, I think kind of his stock actually probably went the other way last year. The good news for him is that he didn't come out. You know, he has this year to continue to get better, to maybe we're laughing about, you know, what we thought about Drew Aller a year prior. Gives him maybe the leg up that he has a whole another year to get ready. But you're right. It's obviously probably unfairly so for so many fans going to come just down to the Ohio State game, because it seems like people are higher on Drew Aller outside of Ohio. It's because of that game.
Yes.
It's just because of that game, even though, you know, we got a chance to see him for the playoff run, too.
So, I mean, I liked Drew Aller last year. But he stayed in college. Probably would have been. He might have been number one overall had he had gone to the draft. Or maybe he was number two overall. Maybe he would be a Cleveland Brown right now. But I know this: that if he goes out there and he sucks against Ohio State or struggles at all, and Ohio State's obviously a good football team, Penn State's a good football team too. But if he's not able to execute, then people aren't going to want him. And the only reason I will be taking him for a lot of people is because he's a local guy. And frankly, I don't want that type of pressure on him if he's not able to do it. Like, we will find out a little bit. I mean, it is in Ohio. It's at Ohio Stadium. There's going to be 105,000 people there. I'm sure it'll be at noon because that's the way they show all those games, which, God, by the way, I was driving around after my son's flag football game on Saturday, and I went, boy, this is really early to be having a game here in 90 minutes. I was driving around at 10:30 on Saturday morning. I go, this is ridiculous to be having a game this early. I understand Fox is going to do what Fox does, and I try to get people to embrace it to some degree because it ain't going to change anytime soon, but it's like, this sucks. Noon for a game of this magnitude, like, they got Grambling this Saturday. Grambling is a noon game. That's noon.
Yeah.
Against number one, though, Texas should not be noon.
I'll tell you, the people that were there say that was some of the loudest that venue has ever been. They said the fans were there early.
Yeah.
They were loud. I know Ross Bjork, that was his whole thing, was to get everybody in that stadium. And Ryan Day after the game said it was as loud as a game that he's ever coached
Ohio
State.
Because all those things ended up playing well for Ohio State. All the things that I thought would play well. I didn't think that the Texas offensive line would struggle as much as they did. I think Arch started seeing ghosts by the end of that football game. He was bailing out a lot in that game.
They did run the football well, but I wonder if part of that is Ohio State using seven defensive backs, basically. Yeah. That's how they were treating their linebackers, with the exception of, holy cow, did Ohio State. Now, he's a Glenville kid, but Arvell Reese, did you see him? I mean, there are four or five NFL plays that mm-hmm. if you got to see mm-hmm. the nitty-gritty film of that dude, powerful, explosive, running around with his head cut off, that was awesome to see.
But when it comes to Drew Aller, I just don't want that much pressure on him, and that would be an insane amount of pressure. If you go out and you get picked by the Browns and they only know you for losing to Ohio State, there is an intense amount of pressure, and there's always going to be something in the back of people's minds. And then you have to go out there and you got to prove it again. If he goes out and he plays well on November 1st and then continues to play well throughout the rest of the year, then hey, you got something golden there, and I'll put him on the list. Until then, I'm just going to save myself any of the aggravation.